Welcome back to another episode of Spanish History 101, brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. And when we last left off, we were in the middle of the Spanish Civil War, which was fought between 1936 and 1939, which determined the fate of this country for the next 40 years. And in many ways, it still does have a major influence on the way this country works and thinks. If you recall, the war started after a military uprising in 1936. It was a coup d'etat, which tried to overthrow the legitimate government of Spain, which had become a republic just a few years before in 1931. Now, by republic, I mean that there was no longer a monarchy. But this young new system was very unstable. Violence got out of hand. And on top of that, this was a time in history where radical ideologies like Nazism, fascism, and communism, socialism, anarchism, all these different isms were popular and making the political scene more tense than ever. The country was divided almost evenly at first. The nationalist side, or the insurrectionist side, were led by Francisco Franco, and the Republican side represented the government. The nationalists controlled more territory, but initially the Republicans controlled more important cities. On an international level, the international community sort of stood on the sidelines in a non-interventionist position, at least publicly. But we know that the Italians and the Germans were supplying Franco with equipment, arms, planes, and on occasion troops and advisors. The Republicans received aid from the Soviet Union, but for logistical reasons and others, it was enough to prolong the war, but not really have a serious impact on the outcome. On top of that, another negative consequence was the fact that the Spanish government handed over a large percentage of its gold reserve, somewhere in the neighborhood of 72% of its total gold reserve, to the USSR to pay for the aid. It was a desperate and yet understandable decision, but it ultimately had a terrible effect on its economy. And as you can imagine, the Spanish never saw that gold return to this country. Now, in the last episode, we mentioned that in the first few months of the war, it seemed as if Franco would take Madrid in the early months of that war, and it probably would have shortened the conflict by quite a bit, but he failed to capture it and instead focused his attention mainly on the north, and the nationalists took control of Asturias and the Basque Country. So by the end of 1937 and early 1938, momentum was increasing in their favor, but the Republicans still controlled the big cities like Madrid, Barcelona, and Valencia. And the armed forces, which initially had been sort of organized into loosely associated militia groups, was finally beginning to look a little bit more like a regular disciplined army. So things may have been looking better for Franco, but it wasn't over yet. Some of the biggest battles of the war were on the verge of taking place. Now, the first one took place in the eastern half of Spain, in a region called Aragon, and especially in a province known as Teruel. And it started on December 15th, 1937. And continued until late February 1938. It was the Battle of Teruel. This battle resembled the sort of infamous Stalingrad battle, in which it involved one of the coldest winters in decades. Teruel, in general, is a cold region in the winter, but this was a particularly bitter season. So anyway, you had this city, Teruel, which was under nationalist control, but the Republicans managed to take it after a few weeks of bloody fighting. And once the nationalists surrendered on January 8th, the Republicans took the city, and then Franco came in and went into action to take it back. And he managed to do that a month and a half later. So that's why it was sort of like Stalingrad. If you recall, that's when the Germans, after terrible fighting for God knows how long, managed to take that city. But once they were there, they quickly became surrounded by the Soviet army and couldn't get out. So the initial success of the Republican side ended in failure, and especially the loss of manpower and equipment, which was becoming increasingly more difficult to replace. On top of that, the international brigades, if you recall, these were volunteers from other countries like England and the United States and France. Many of them were communists or socialists, but they weren't professional soldiers, but they did provide a lot of support. They were losing steam, money, and men, and they began to disband. And that was pretty much the Battle of Teruel. One little sort of fun fact or curiosity is that this battle featured the last major massive cavalry attack in Western Europe. Anyway, the loss at the Battle of Teruel, followed by the end of the Aragon offensive a month later, virtually split the Republican territory in two, where you had Catalonia to the north and Valencia and surrounding areas to the south. Franco's forces looked sure to claim victory again, but the Republicans weren't done yet. In July of 1938, they launched another huge offensive near the Mediterranean coast in Catalonia. And it was along the Ebro River, which is one of Spain's most important rivers, and it pours out into the Mediterranean in that area. Anyway, this battle, known as the Battle of the Ebro River, would turn out to be the longest of the entire war. At first, just like in Teruel, the Republicans caught the Nationalists off guard and made encouraging advances. But the forces under Franco were able to halt them, and little by little, they began to fight their way back. Fighting went on for months, and in the end, the Nationalists were victorious. And once again, as I was telling you before, the Republicans were struggling because they just could not replenish their losses. And the failure of the Battle of the Ebro Offensive, effectively ended the war. It was just a matter of time. One of the hopes for the Republicans was that if the West got into a war against Germany and Italy, well, then they would come to the government's rescue and attack Franco. So they were sort of hoping to drag this conflict out as long as possible and give Europe time to enter into its own war. But they ran out of time. World War II would start a little bit later in September of 1939, but by that time the war was long over in Spain. Franco had declared himself undisputed head of state, and there was little that could be done. Anyway, getting back to the end of this one, Franco pressed to the north and took Barcelona in late January 1939, and in February and March, the war shifted back towards Madrid, with Franco ready to finally take the city. To complicate matters, another coup d'etat took place in Madrid in March. This was one that was within the Spanish Republic government. You see, by this time, there were factions. There were those who were trying to sue for peace and hopefully negotiate a peace settlement, and others who were trying to last as long as they could. But by this time, Franco was basically demanding an unconditional surrender, and the government was in no position to question that. Franco and his army entered Madrid at the end of March, and on April 1st, the war was declared over and hostilities ended. The Republican government went into exile and tens of thousands fled mainly to France to escape from any retribution that would come for sure for those who ended up staying in Spain. Many others would also flee to Central and South America. Countries like Mexico and Argentina were popular destinations. So the Spanish Civil War had come to an end nearly 3 years after it broke out. The country was devastated, the way civil wars tend to be. The final tally, like just about anything having to do with the Spanish Civil War, is highly debated. But today, the overall consensus is that it was close to 500,000 killed, both on the battlefield and in civilian areas. And in addition to that, a lot of the progress that was made in the previous maybe 5 to 10 years in many ways came to a screeching halt, and the country sort of regressed socially almost decades. On the other hand, the volatile days of the Republic had come to an end, and there was certainly something to say for that, but at the cost of 40 years of dictatorship. The new government of Spain under Franco would initially become isolated, although it would stay out of World War II, which was kind of a blessing and a curse at the same time. But we'll tell you more about that in the next episode. For the moment, suffice it to say that Franco won that war. A fascist, ultra-Catholic, ultra-conservative government took over, a dictatorship where democracy was not respected in a country which had been torn apart by war, and so its economy was suffering. It was a big mess with a lot of uncertainty about its future. But anyway, we'll tell you more about that in the next episode. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Spanish History 101 by Brian Spain Domain. Please leave us any questions or comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, and Castos. And you can also check us out on our YouTube channel and subscribe. Or if you wish to support Brian's Spain Domain, we'd really appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the very best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. Our podcasts are free, so you can enjoy them, but we welcome listeners to support us if they wish. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.